Yes. And as I said, tomorrow is Veterans Day. Veterans Day, originally known as Armistice Day, is a federal holiday in the United States observed annually on November 11th. Tomorrow's November 11th. For honoring military veterans, that is, persons who have served in the United States Armed Forces and were discharged under conditions other than dishonorable. It coincides with other holidays, including Armistice Day and Remembrance Day, which are celebrated in other countries that mark the anniversary of the end of World War I. Major hostilities of World War I were formally ended on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, 1918, 101 years ago, when the armistice with Germany went into effect. President Woodrow Wilson issued a proclamation to celebrate Armistice Day on November 11th. So on November 11th, 1919, was the first one, and that was 100 years ago tomorrow. President Woodrow Wilson issued a message to the country on the first Armistice Day, in which he expressed what he felt the day meant to Americans. A year ago today, our enemies laid down their arms in accordance with an armistice which rendered them impotent to renew hostilities and gave to the world an assured opportunity to reconstruct its shattered order and to work out in peace a new and juster set of international relations. The soldiers and people of the European Allies had fought and endured for more than 4 years to uphold the barrier of civilization against the aggressions of an armed force. We ourselves had joined in the conflict sometime no more than a year and a half. With splendid forgetfulness of mere personal concerns, we remodeled our industries, concentrated our financial resources, increased our agricultural output, and assembled a great army so that at the last, our power was a decisive factor in the victory. We were able to bring the vast resources, material, and morale of a great and free people to the assistance of our associates in Europe who had suffered and sacrificed without limit in the cause for which we fought. Out of this victory, there arose new possibilities of political freedom and economic concert. The war showed us the strength of great nations acting together for high purposes, and the victory of arms foretells the ending conquest, which can be made in peace with nations when they act justly and in furtherance of the common interest of men. To us, in America, the reflections of Armistice Day will be filled with solemn pride in the heroism of those who died in the country's service, and with gratitude for the victory, both because of the things from which it has set us free, and because of the opportunity it has given America to show her sympathy with peace and justice in the councils of nations. That was what he said on the first Armistice Day when he addressed this great nation of ours. But it was only a proclamation until in 1938. That's when it was declared a national holiday. 20 years later? Well, sometimes we move a little slow in this country. At the urging of major U.S. veteran organizations, though, Armistice Day was renamed Veterans Day in honor of all U.S. soldiers of any war and of those serving in our country's armed forces. And that was back in 1954. Dwight D. Eisenhower. Had a lot of impact. Eisenhower. But now Webster's Dictionary, it says that a veteran is, one, a person who has long served or experienced in an occupation, office, or the like. Number two, a person who has served in a military force, especially during a war. Now, while we think of war as world conflicts with many countries involved, today I want you to take, I'm going to take your understanding of the word veteran in a different direction. I want you to think of yourself. You, a born-again child of God. I want you to think of yourself as a veteran. Because if you take your relationship with Him seriously, you know that you are a soldier, without a doubt, in the largest army in the world. A soldier in the army of God. One of the greatest soldiers ever in the Lord's army was King David. Long before he ever thought about being a hero, on the day that he slew Goliath against enormous odds with a little stone and a leather sling. Think about that. A little stone with a sling. Powered by faith and his love for the Lord. I shared with Lynn yesterday, a couple days ago, in fact, it was a week ago, Saturday. I was taking the dog out in my arm because he likes to be carried out. And believe it or not, I went out, didn't turn the porch light on, and I fell over a box from Amazon. And don't know how I didn't go all the way down, but I ended up, and that box was about this big, with this leg on that side, this leg on that, down on the step, the knees hit the ground, this arm tried to grab the handrail, and it pulled that shoulder, but I still had the dog because I was going down, and as I let him go and my body was going this way, that big pole on my porch, right there, and it's still tender. And I really, when I was doing this, I said, wow, I took that much of a hit. What did that little stone do to that man's head? Yeah. Whoo, that projectile come off of there with velocity. Wow. Yeah, it's still tender. Luke didn't get hurt. That was my main concern. I kept telling Teresa, she says, oh, I said, don't worry about me. How's the dog? How's my buddy? You know? He had no idea what happened, what we was going down, you know? All right. See, but God, he looked ahead and saw David's future. And he saw that it was going to be good. And not just good, but it was going to be great. Because he looked at his heart. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, it says, God sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. He looks at the heart. You can turn to Psalm 91, because that's where we're going to go. But God had chosen him to be a soldier in his army long before he ever summoned him for the assignment. See, God does not call those that are equipped. He equips those whom he calls. I know, he called me. You're there in Psalm 91. Okay, we're going to start reading at verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 8,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. He will give his angels charge over you. One of the functions of angels is to watch over believers. Remember, they move on God's word when spoken in faith. They're listening for his word to be spoken. But those angels, well, angels are out there, and their function is to watch over us. And they did it for Daniel. Turn to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. Verse 16. So the king gave the order. Now this is Daniel. They're getting ready to put him in the lion's den. And why? Because of jealousy, envy, and hatred by the people he was working with. His fellow presidents, because see, there were three of them that were in charge of everything. And all those underneath him, it was jealousy. They couldn't find anything wrong that the man was doing. So they had the king draw up a little proclamation. And that's how they got him, because he was honoring his God. Okay, so the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. And the king, who loved Daniel, he said, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." He had no way out. He had to fulfill what he had said. Now a stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace, and he spent the night without eating snacks and without entertaining. He didn't turn the TV on. And he couldn't sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God." He knew that the God that Daniel served was alive. "Has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lion's den?" Hey, you better believe it. Yeah, king, I'm alive. Daniel answered, "May the king live forever." He held no grudges on what the king did. He knew there was a purpose. Even if you're thrown in the midst of a lion's den, know that God is with you. You get thrown into a hot fire like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember, God is with you. He's in there with you through it. You ain't going to get burned. And you ain't going to get eaten up. Praise God. He said, "My God sent his angel." How many angels? One angel. One angel subdued all those lions that were in the den. And he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty. When we put out our faith and trust in the Lord, we can expect to have God take care of us. We can expect his maximum protection. We have angels, but we have something even more powerful. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. The power of the blood of Jesus has provided everything we will need to live a life of victory, including redemption, fellowship, healing, protection, and authority over the devil. The blood. Plead the blood over your vehicle before you take off. Plead the blood. And if you haven't done by now, walk a bloodline around your house perimeter. It works. It works. I did it years ago. George and Susan, we learned about it, and they come over to the house, and we walked my house line out there, the whole perimeter we're in. And you know what was interesting? Our first little shih tzu, Cody, he would go outside. He could shut the door. He wasn't going to. He would go out, and he'd walk up. He walked the line. He never crossed the line and left our property. Did he, Teresa? Bloodline. Plead the blood. It works. It works. He spilled it for a reason. Not to be laid there idly on the ground, but to be used by us. And it said, what? No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Now, were there times that our courage was tested? Yeah. Is it tested? Yeah. Were there times when David's courage was tested? Yes and yes. There were many times, probably more than are in Scripture, Daniel's courage was tested. We all know our faith and courage is tested, even sometimes on a daily basis. David's courage and faith was no different. It's in those times that faith is stretched. That's when it has a chance to grow and develop. And that's when it becomes stronger. Stronger. It's the same with us as with a veteran. That's a person who served in a military force, especially during a war. You see, I believe a veteran is anyone who has served in battle or a war with a designated foe and lived to fight another day. Only our war is different. It's a different kind of war. It's a spiritual war with a real and ever-present enemy, the accuser, the devil. He's one and the same, folks. And the Lord tells us this is a serious conflict that we're up against. And it's on a daily basis. And sometimes it's on a moment-by-moment basis. Because you may get knocked down. And as you're getting up, Satan hits you again before you even get off the floor. But no, greater is he that is in you. And he will lift you off that floor. Okay. My weakness. The Avengers movies. Okay? In one of the Avengers movies, Captain America, when they're getting attacked on a ship, he looks over at Tony Stark, who is Iron Man, standing there. And he says, suit up. Go get your battle armor on. Suit up, he said. And that takes us right to where we need to be. We should suit up every day and be ready by suiting up in the whole armor of God. Yeah, he's provided us with the armor. Look to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Who are to be strong in? In the Lord. And in the power of His might. Whose might? His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's his deceptions, his traps, his lies, the snares he sets out there. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. We're talking about those fallen angels and their leader, Satan. Therefore, suit up, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. God's breastplate protects our hearts and ensures His approval. He approves of us because He loves us. And He proved it when He sent His Son for us. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. 15, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And those fiery darts, those are his attacks. And they come in the forms of insults, in setbacks, physically, financially, and in temptations. 17, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now that helmet protects our mind from doubting God's saving work for us. Helps us to keep from doubting that we are born again and we are saved. When you confess Christ as your Lord. That's what that helmet of salvation does. Protects you. Gives you knowing that you are saved. You asked Him into your heart. He moves in. He doesn't hesitate. He comes when you ask. And He moves in and He dwells in you. Greater is He that is in you. And the sword, it's the only weapon of offense listed in the armor. And there are times when we need to take the offensive against Satan before he starts the attack. You know what I said? You got to be on the offense. Not always on the defense. You got to be on the offense. That's what we got the word for. Yes, sir. Work the word. Amen. When we are tempted, we need to trust in the truth of God's word and speak it. For it is written. Everybody, word up. Amen. Keep your sword razor sharp. Amen. Word up. 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. 19. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. When you go to Smith, that's what you do. For which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. After we read this scripture and we put on the whole armor of God, we should be able to, and we should want to, insert our name in verse 19. And as for me, put your name there, Jack Robinson, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Because when you are willing to insert your name, you are willing to lay it on the line to take the battle to the neighborhood, to your workplace, to where you live. You're going to need the whole armor of God and the protection that goes with it, because the accuser, he's going to pull out all the stops if he feels that there is a threat to what he is trying to do. But no matter what he conjures up, and believe me, he can come up with a lot of stuff, but no matter what he dreams up, he's no match for the armor and the protection that God offers to us who can simply believe and take him at his word. Word up, folks. Word up. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. But this we know, the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Sometimes it seems as of late that there are those who are against us are more than those who are with us. I said seems like it. Satan works hard to keep Christians divided, making us feel like we're the only ones left. And then we sit around saying, well, woe is me. I'm all by myself. Well, you're not. You know, one thing that keeps Christians divided is religion. Religion brings division, but with relationship, there is unity. So much wrong in the world, so few are willing to take a stand on the right side. Turn to, okay, Brother Bob robbed me on Wednesday. Go to 1 Kings 19. Well, I shouldn't say rob me. Just prove to me that we're in connection with the Holy Ghost. That's better. I told you, brother, you took mine, took my scriptures. Here we can see where Elijah, he experienced the same thing. That he was all alone. Yeah, he felt the same thing. How we feel at times. You're there in 1 Kings 19. Start reading at verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. Also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. What did we come up with, Bob? There was what? 450 prophets of Baal and what? 400 of the other prophets? Total of like 850 prophets. And he executed them all. One man. Where did he get his power and his might and his strength from? From the Lord. Verse 2. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and he ran for his life. If you read, he did a lot of running, this man. And he went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and he left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. Elijah was a veteran. In Scripture, we read that he was a decorated veteran. He had done many amazing things for the Lord. In all, with God, he performed 7 amazing miracles. And now he was fearful for his life. and he was running scared. Do not be afraid. There are more of them with us. Always remember that. And now, like I said, he was fearful. He had battle fatigue. He needed to recharge his batteries. He needed a word from the Lord. He needed to word up. Verse 5. Then as he lay and slept under the broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank, and he lay down again. He had a full belly. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time, and he touched him. And he said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you." So he arose, and he ate and drank. And he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. One word from God, the strength it gives, can take you from where you are to where you need to be. God's word and favor can take you so much further. So much further than where you can get to on your own. Quit trying to do it on your own. God's word is part of the whole armor that we are entitled to. There's a superabundance of power in the words of God. Verse 9. And there he went into a cave, and he spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. What came to him?
The word.
The word. And he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here?" So he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek my life." He was reminding God that he had been a faithful veteran, yet he felt like he was the only one left, and he was outnumbered. There he was. "Oh, woe is me." Sometimes, with all that goes on in the world, we tend to feel the same way, do we not? We think, what other things could the world possibly do to us, to our morality, and thereto the lack of in America? Our religious freedoms and the limiting of them. Our God-given rights. That countless millions shed their blood for us to have. Recognizing Veterans Day, I say thank you, veterans. Thank you. Verse 11. Then he said, that's the word, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks into pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after that fire, a small, still voice." It was in a small, still voice. Elijah learned that God is not just a God of the spectacular. At times, the work of God is experienced in a still, small voice. The sound of a gentle stillness. Elijah had called for lightning. He had called for fire. He called for a national revival. What Elijah did not see was that God was at work in the lives of many people. He's in the work of a lot of people. He uses every one of us. Every one of you. In every area where you're at, on your job site, at your workplace, in your homes, in the grocery store, like in Walmart. You see, everybody is waiting for something. Something stupendous to happen. Something earth-shattering. Something cataclysmic. Something that's going to set the Christian clocks right with the world. It's up to us, veterans, to all who profess to be a believer, the boots that are on the ground to carry out his marching orders. Lace them up tight, Bob. Don't let them boots come off. Believers. You know what believers are? They're mountain movers. They're water walkers. They're more than overcomers. We are believers. We're the boots on the ground. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and as of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." You see, nothing has changed since Jesus went to be with the Father. At times, though, some of us have forgotten our marching orders, and the ranks have seemed to have thinned out. So it seems because of that. Well, let me remind you, as God reminded Elijah, you're not alone. You're not alone. Verse 19 there, or yeah, verse 18 of 1 Kings 19, verse 18. "Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." You see, the media would have you believe that times are changing and that beliefs are changing. The principles that this country was founded on are out of date and need to be altered to the political correctness of the day. That needs to be observed all around the country and the world, all in the name of peace. Political correctness will never bring peace. Only Jesus will bring peace to the world. And it's to the point where the media has got us convinced, like they had back then, believing like Elijah, that the numbers are so small that sometimes it's like we're the only ones left. We're not the only ones left. As veterans, we need to stand up and to be heard. Millions upon millions are with us today. We're not in this alone. But just like the Word said, there were 7,000 silent saints. The same can be said today. We can be silent, though, no more. All of us are veterans in God's army. No matter what your age is, no matter what your rank is, or even your position, we're in the army, God's army. We need to stand up and be counted as a soldier, ready, willing, and able to do what is required of us. What he's really required of is pretty easy, if you think about it.
That was easy.
It's what he says. When you do what he says, it's easy. What did Mary say to the servants at the wedding? Hey, they're out of wine. What do you want me to do, woman? She never said a word back to him. She just looked at the servant and says, whatever he says to do, do it. Do it. They come over. He just said, take all those pots, all those big containers, fill them with water. Okay, brought them with water. It's okay. Now take them out to the guests. Okay. Do what he said. Take it out there and people. Man, that is the best taste of wine I've ever had. You waited to the end to give us the best. We no longer have to wait for the best. We have the best. We have Jesus. He's living in us. So you can taste the victory when you realize that he's in you. Especially when you're speaking his word. The flavor is so good. There have been, though, far too many who I can say are MIA, missing in action. Or I can say AWOL. Absent without official leave for too long. They need to report and actually show up for active duty. They had to actually show up. It's so easy to stand idly by and to get busy and to think that someone else will speak up and say something. Someone else will tell the world about Jesus. We'll invite them to church. We'll tell them where to find hope. Someone else will tell them where to find healing strength and when everything else has failed them. Someone else once told you all those things. Somebody told you. Someone else told you all those things. And at that moment, you became the someone else. Don't ever forget the words of Jesus, what he spoke in Luke 10:27, the Message Bible. Love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and muscle and intelligence, and that you love your neighbor as well as you do yourself. Jesus said, that this was the greatest of all commandments. He knew that when we followed this one, all the others would be followed as well. What's love got to do with it? Everybody, word up. Veterans, unite. Amen. Thank you.